Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first episode of Diplomatically Speaking With. My name is Zahir Mozani, and I'll be the host of Diplomatically Speaking With. We have a special guest today. Before we bring him out, let me give an introduction about this Diplomatically Speaking With, or DSW for short. It is a long word, so I'm going to use DSW for short. DSW is a series of conversations or interviews with the diplomatic corps in Malaysia. We notice there is always a gap between the diplomatic community and the Malaysian public for various reasons. So we decided to start this DSW to engage in deep conversations with the diplomats. We're going to be talking about the history, context, and opportunities of bilateral relations between foreign countries and Malaysia. When I say we, I mean the KSI Strategic Institute for Asia Pacific, or KSI, a top-ranked public policy think tank based in Malaysia. I am the director of external affairs, by the way. KSI is an independent think tank with a vision to build better nations in Asia Pacific, led by the formidable and prominent Tan Sri Mark-Kyo, who is my boss. I have to say that. We are the leading curator of impactful innovative conferences and forums. True story, KSI is ranked 109th of the 2020 top social public policy think tanks according to the 2020 Global Go To Think Tank Index report. Okay, enough about KSI. Today, we are diplomatically speaking with the Ambassador of Germany to Malaysia, His Excellency Dr. Peter Blumeyer, on everything Germany-Malaysia relations. How are you, Your Excellency?
Thank you, I'm fine. Thank you for inviting me here.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. Let me kick off the session by asking you a very simple question, easy question. Tell us more about your background and your appointment as the ambassador to Malaysia.
Yes, voluntarily. I have started my education with a dual vocational training in Hamburg, as it is very common in Germany. I was with the German Shell company in the oil business. But after 2 years, I finished that and I studied law and history in Freiburg and Berlin. And then I joined the Foreign Service. In the Foreign Service, I'm what you call a typical generalist. I had postings in Japan. I had postings in the Balkans twice, in Albania and Kosovo. I had a posting in Arabia, in Saudi Arabia, two postings in Africa, in Congo and Uganda. And my last posting was in Siberia. And now I'm here with you. And I can say, even though I loved all my postings, they were very interesting, and I enjoyed being there, Malaysia is the first posting which was on my wish list. So I came here on my own will, and I'm very happy to be here.
This is such an interesting way to put it. Can you tell us more about why? Why was Malaysia top of that list for you? Why do you sort of had that in mind?
Yes, Malaysia, I think, is a highly interesting country. It has a beautiful nature, flora and fauna, and it has a beautiful climate. This is, of course, attractive, but it has also a highly interesting society. You have different layers of society. You have ethnicities such as the Malays, the Chinese, and Indians, who give a very striking example of how people can live together, how different cultures can come together and merge. And I think for a diplomat, this is highly interesting. There are other aspects such as the economy, your strategic position, which we will be talking about later. But I think there are lots of good reasons to come to Malaysia.
Excellent reason. I feel so proud that you sort of had that at the top of the list. I like that you mentioned a typical generalist, but there was nothing generalist about your exposure in Japan, Balkans, Albania, Africa, Russia. You know, I think there's very interesting, very expansive exposure that you have. Not that you're part, not that you're appointed as the ambassador of Germany to Malaysia. What are the top three priorities for you as ambassador?
The top three. You are less ambitious with me than the Foreign Office. They gave me six priorities. So maybe I start with the traditional priorities of this embassy as they have been in the past. I think the top priority is economy, has been in the past and still is. That is, the economic relations between our two countries are also dominating our relations in general. And this is indeed very important. We have more than 700 companies here, and we will keep this up. Then cooperation in good governance and also human rights has always been a priority since long. And another priority has been the cooperation in culture and science, especially also language teaching, bringing German to the Malaysians. But nowadays, we cannot stop here. We have other priorities, such as the environment, the fight against climate change, the fight against the flood of plastics, for instance, preservation of biodiversity. That is a priority. Then we have a priority, multilateralism, regional cooperation between the two state blocks we adhere to, ASEAN and the European Union. In the Indo-Pacific, cooperation within the United Nations system. And last but not least, we also cooperate in security matters. Since a few years, we also have a defense attaché in the embassy who is taking care of this.
Very wide range of priorities that you have. And maybe before we talk
about... You want to scratch any of them?
Maybe before we scratch on any of those priorities... could you elaborate maybe on the history, as far as you know? Because I think what is interesting is when we try to find out about the history between Malaysia and Germany, there's not much that we can actually find. Maybe you want to shed some light of potentially what you know about the history between our both countries.
Yes, it is interesting. While the Germans have been here since long, they came already in the 19th century. And there was also a general consulate still in colonial times. And Germany has been among the first countries to recognize the new state on the 31st of August, 1957. We were country number 7 to recognize Malaya at that time. And it was only 1 month later that we opened our embassy. That was on the 1st of October. So we have long-standing relations. Also, our cultural institute, the Goethe Institute, opened up still in 1957. And then we had, of course, the official exchange. Our chancellors met with your king or your kings, respectively, with your prime ministers. It started with Adenauer. That was the first chancellor of the Federal Republic of Germany in the West. There was Willy Brandt, for instance, who came here. There was Gerhard Schröder, Angela Merkel, and of course also Helmut Kohl. So they all met with your leaders. And we also had a president, Richard von Weizsäcker, who is very well known in Germany, and he came here and visited Penang. He was on the traces of a famous German novelist who also went to Penang, and he was interested in seeing that. Yes, and during normal day, it is the embassy representing Germany here and also entertaining the relations. But I can tell you, we are only the tip of the iceberg of our relations. And if you look back into history, you will see. I mentioned already our cultural institution, the Goethe Institute, who has been here from the beginning. But we also have, for instance, the political foundations of our political parties were represented here. Not all of them, but at a time, all of them were represented here. And who cooperated, for instance, in the field of democracy, rule of law, human rights, environment, fight against poverty, peacekeeping, and all these issues. We had media representation from very early. The Deutsche Welle, the German Broadcasting Corporation, has been here since a very long time. We had GTZ, if you remember that. That was at the time when Malaysia was still quite poor. There was cooperation in fight against poverty, on forestry, environmental issues. And after a while, they left, though, because when Malaysia became a middle-income country, it was not necessary anymore. Yes, and we have, of course, the companies. We had our first treaty that was an investment guarantee treaty that was in 1960, as early as that. And in greater numbers, companies came here in the 70s, mainly to Penang, and helped build up the electric and electronic industry there. Many, many companies followed them, and that is also a backbone of our relations today. So you see there is a great variety of participants in German-Malaysian relations that was like this in the past, and it will be like this also in the future.
All I can say is, wow, I never knew that Germany has such an extensive and comprehensive engagement with Malaysia since it's been decades. It's been, even you mentioned in the 19th century with the General Consulate during colonial times. I think it's something interesting. I think I wish we could talk about this more, but I think we should jump to the other topics. But I think if we could do a part two on this, on the history, I think it would be super interesting to sort of understand that the relationship goes way beyond what we read online. Because, you know, if you Google this on Wikipedia, it mentions 1990 or something like that, right? Whereas in actual fact, it's been ongoing for the past, over 100 years, if you look at it from the 19th century. I want to ask you in terms of, given the historical ties that have been so extensive and deep, how would you describe the current relations between Germany and Malaysia? And I'm saying this in the context of Germany sometimes is always seen as subsumed within the European Union. And so what happens is the public will usually see the EU more so than they see Germany. So how would you describe in terms of bilateral relations between specifically Malaysia and Germany? How would you describe the current relations between the two countries?
Well, our relations are warm and friendly. They have been warm and friendly, and they still are, and they continue to be warm and friendly. This is a good state of relations. And I think if you look at the reasons for this, we are both medium-sized powers in our respective alliances. We both hold similar values, such as multilateralism. We want peace, security, and stability in international relations. We want a trade-friendly environment, a rule-based order for trade. We want freedom of navigation. So interests of us in the international theater are similar. Our relations are strongly influenced by economy, by our trade relations, by our investment relations. And Germany is the strongest partner of Malaysia within the European Union, whilst Malaysia is our strongest partner in ASEAN, neck with Vietnam, I must say. So we have a lot of common ground, and we also work in the framework of our respective alliances together. Now, ASEAN and EU managed to elevate their relations to a strategic partnership last December. That was a major breakthrough. We hope, for instance, the negotiations on a free trade agreement between the European Union and Malaysia can be resumed. So there is a lot of common ground between our two nations, which explain that. I would like to say one word about the future. The German government has issued policy guidelines on the Indo-Pacific last year. There we spell out that we want to increase and to deepen and broaden our relations to the region. And my job will it be to realize this via Malaysia. And the priorities which I named you before, they are the different chapters actually of these policy guidelines. So we believe there is a lot of potential in the international arena for cooperation, but also in the economy, if you think of digitization or connectivity, and of course also in the environmental sector, human rights, rule of law, and culture and science and education. There's a lot of potential which we have to tap.
I think that's such an interesting point you mentioned about the Indo-Pacific policy of Germany. Maybe we can get back to, we can talk about that later on if we have enough time. I want to ask you a naughty question before we go to the serious stuff, which is, in your opinion, there's no right or wrong answer here. What is the perception of German people towards Malaysia? Or maybe if framed differently, is if you're in Germany, what would people think of Malaysia, if they think at all?
Well, I think this is not too naughty, this question. And I can tell you that my perception was when I also was awarded this posting here, and when I talked to people in Germany, that there is no distinct vision of Malaysia among German people, among most of them, let's say. I think, as I told you before, that was also my impression, Malaysia is considered to be a very beautiful country, nature-wise, flora and fauna. People associate the blue sea and white beaches, coconut palms there, sort of paradise. And they associate also beautiful people with them, beautiful and sometimes also adventurous people, because they think of past centuries when there was piracy here, and those pirates, they have a certain attraction, which you can also find now mirrored by movies which are made about them. So I think this is maybe a bit romantic picture, but that's what they have. But some of them, some Germans also recognize Malaysia as a tiger economy. They have a lot of admiration for this. Germany also had this experience after World War II to grow up, and now they economy-wise, and now they see Malaysia is doing the same thing. And they admire also the reflection in architecture for this. Your Petronas Towers, it's a symbol of Kuala Lumpur and Malaysia, and symbolizes this rise of the Malaysian economy. The people here, the Germans in Malaysia themselves, of course, they have a closer view. They see society from very near. But I can also tell you that they have a very positive picture of their host country. They like it. And what they like especially is the kindness of the Malaysian people. So they feel very welcome here. And personally, I must say, I couldn't agree more.
That's heartful to know. I think thank you so much for mentioning that. I love when you mention beautiful people, beautiful paradise. And there's words that I think were so interesting. And I hope we can live up to that sort of the aspirational vision of the German people of the country, or of this country. Now, let's get into what you mentioned earlier, which is Malaysia is one of the Germany's principal trading partners in ASEAN, in par with countries like Singapore and Vietnam. Can you tell us a little bit more about the trade relations and economic relations between both countries? You mentioned something just now. You mentioned a few points about heavy presence of German companies in Malaysia, 400 companies. Maybe you can talk us more. Tell us more in terms of maybe the level of trade that happens between both countries, and possibly also talk about the future, as you see it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, trade relations have been very strong between our two countries. And I have mentioned already that we are the biggest trading partners in our respective alliances, vice versa. And we had a steady rise in the exchange, in the economic exchange, until 2018. Since then, it has dropped a little. It stands now at about $15 billion, which still is quite a bit. And I must say, I'm quite relieved that the regression has not been stronger during the pandemic. I can also tell you that Malaysia is one of the few countries in the world who has a trade plus with Germany. Not many countries can say that. So this is very good. Then our investment cooperation is also very good. Many companies invest here. I couldn't tell you the figures because German companies have started back in the 70s to invest here, and it's practically impossible to accumulate that. MIDA has given a figure of 10 billion some time ago, but I don't know how long this goes back. So there is a strong investment. The main sectors are E&E, electronic, machinery, medical devices, chemicals, and automotive. So yes, and we have, as I said, more than 700 companies here, and we have a strong institutional representation. We have the Malaysian German Chamber of Commerce and Industry here since the 90s. They've celebrated their 30th birthday here now. They have, I think, around 400 members. Then we have three German business councils where the business people in Kuala Lumpur, in Penang and Johor Bahru regularly meet and exchange once a month. I also participate at these meetings. We have a German information service here, the German Trade and Investment Service. We have, last but not least, the economic department of my embassy. But we also have some institutions back in Germany, the German Asia Pacific Economic Association, is the Ostasien Verein, the East Asia Association. That's a very old and traditional association with seat in Hamburg. And we have the Malaysian German Roundtable in different towns in Germany who take care of economic relations between our two countries back from Germany. So institution-wise, we also have a strong representation. If you look into the future, I would like to say that the assets of the Malaysian investment destination are clear. That is the geographical situation, which is nearly perfect here. It is a well-educated workforce, also multilingual. It's a good infrastructure. It's a very investment-friendly environment. Also, you can feel this in administration and in politics, and so many companies feel well here. Now, of course, we live in a time where new decisions will be taken on investments. Also, companies look for new hubs. You know what happens in China, and also the relations between China and the USA. Companies are affected by that. And I think the reaction of German companies is that they see a need to diversify, not only be in China, not leave China, but not only be there, but also look further. And then Southeast Asia, of course, is of interest, and Malaysia is in the center of Southeast Asia. And so they look also at the problems which they see. I can feel this from VTCs with the associations in Germany, and they ask me questions about things like chances to participate at government tenders, Bumiputra policies. They ask about corruption and cronyism, things like that. Also about political stability. This has always been an asset in Malaysia, but then there was this state of emergency. It still is there. And people were worried and asked what's happening in Malaysia. And so you need to respond to this. Now, of course, we all know that it will end on 1st of August. This is clear, and it will be a passing episode. I can say that German companies now look very closely where to go to and where to create new hubs in the region. But I still think Malaysia is a favorite destination. It has a very good starting position for the time post-COVID, which hopefully will start soon. And German companies, I think, can be attracted also in future to Malaysia. And I would also like to add one thing. German companies can also be an asset for Malaysia because they come here for a long time. They invest here for a long time. They don't want to go away tomorrow when they find another place more attractive. No, they come for a long time. They invest, they employ, and which is maybe even more important is they train. They train and they transfer know-how. So there's also a contribution of German companies.
Very interesting points. I like when you mention about It's not just about the trade volume. When you look at the on the ground, the Malaysian German Chamber of Commerce also is the biggest Chamber of Commerce, among the biggest Chamber of Commerce in the country. And I think that speaks volumes in terms of the trade that happens between both countries. You mentioned there were so many, besides from the government agencies, there are also a lot of associations that are involved in facilitating business relationships between both countries. I like how you mentioned also about, and I think this is the context of the US-China strategy competition that has led to a lot of companies wanting to look at other parts of the world for you know, alternatives, and that includes Malaysia. But very interesting insights in terms of the when companies, in German companies in Malaysia are here, they don't just employ, but they also train. I think that's something that always is overlooked. Because most of the time people think they just offer jobs, but I think there's so much more than that. I wanna switch gears into cultural educational, because you mentioned this earlier in one of the earlier remarks, and I think this is so fascinating. I mean, not many countries actually have political foundations of political parties being involved in other people's country, you know, talking about issues like human rights, democracy, anti-poverty and environment. You also mentioned about the media presence, GTV. You mentioned about there are associations between German associations in Malaysia as well. Can you talk more about the cultural, educational, and other aspects of this relationship, because it is so fascinating to understand about the presence of Germany in Malaysia itself.
Yes, voluntarily. You may have noticed by what I have been saying that German love to meet in associations. If you have two Germans, then they found an association for some reason. And so we also brought these associations to Malaysia. I mentioned the Goethe Institute. It is our most powerful cultural institution in abroad, which is also associated with my ministry, with the foreign ministry. And they have been here since 1957, so for a long time. We have a long history in Penang of Germans, dating also back to the 19th century. And there we have a Malaysian German society, which was founded in 1962, and bringing together Malaysians and Germans there. Then we have the German Academic Exchange Service. They foster the cooperation between universities. And the first scholars from Germany came in 1977 with the German Academic Exchange Service. And 2 years later, in 1979, the German school in Kuala Lumpur was founded. We have a German-speaking society in Kuala Lumpur who's issuing even a magazine, the KL Post. We have an association of the Malaysian alumni who studied in Germany. One specialty is also from the Alexander von Humboldt Foundation, which is a foundation for scientific cooperation. They have their own Humboldt Club here, but these are Malaysians who are apparently a little bit infected by the Germans to found associations. So yes, we do have a lot of institutions here who uphold this this cooperation. Between universities, we have, I think, 50 official corporations, and in an even larger number of unofficial corporations. You cannot count them. So there is a lot of interaction in language and in science. But we also have in other fields such as literature, fine arts, music, we have a cooperation. Did you know, for instance, that it were German photographers who documented, starting in 1860, Malaysian daily life, the postcards from Penang? German photographers made them, and they were dominating this business there. Then you had translation of important Malaysian works into German as early as the 20s of the last century. For instance, Hang Tuah was translated into German. This novelist, Hermann Hesse, he was an important intermediary between East and West and is known for that. He came and visited Malaysia and Penang. He was also the winner of the Nobel Literature Prize. So there's a longstanding cooperation there. Today, I would like to mention, for instance, Pauline Fan, who is translating German philosophers like Kant and poets like Rilke or Brecht into German. So it goes into both directions. Then music. We have German conductors conducting the MPO, also German musicians playing in the MPO. We have literally hundreds of German musicians, classical music, folk music, jazz, hip hop, you name it, who come and tour Malaysia. We have a European film festival at which our embassy participates. There's also theater and dance. So there is a very vivid exchange. And I might also mention sports. Quite a few coaches came from Germany to train Malaysian football teams. And we have also a coach academy for athletics in Germany, at which we invite Malaysian coaches, and they come and participate. Yes, so there is a wide range of cultural cooperation between our countries. Not everybody is aware of them, but I think it is very important that also in this field, where people-to-people connections count, we have this relation.
Very, very fascinating. There's so much you mentioned, and you know, from the Goethe Institute, German, the Malaysian German Society, the German School in Kuala Lumpur, German Speaking Society, German Alumni Association, the 50 over official corporations. I didn't even know Hang Tuah was translated to German. I think that is so fascinating. German conducted MPO, I didn't know that. It was interesting. Sports, a lot of forms of diplomacy, sports diplomacy, you have the music diplomacy. I'm fascinated by the point about Penang. It sounds to me as though the Germans have had a strong presence in Penang since you mentioned in the 19th century. I think that is so interesting. I never knew. My kampung is in Penang, and so I you know, there is so many German cafes and restaurants, and also the lot heavy presence. And now it explains why, you know, after you mentioned this, explains why there's a legacy there. I want to jump into, I know we don't have much time, but I want to jump into one of the things you mentioned earlier about good governance. You mentioned a point about good governance, which is one of your priorities, specifically on human rights, good governance and democracy. Maybe can you talk more about sort of German foreign policy when it comes to this in the context of Malaysia?
Well, yes, we accompany Malaysia since long in this field. I have mentioned our political foundations, which have made many seminars on that. We believe that we need a dialogue on these issues. You know, there is a discussion about universal values, Asian values, European values. And I think what we do need is to discuss what is the contents of this, and what do we mean by human rights. I think that no one will admit that he is against human rights, but still there are human rights violations, and you have to talk to about that, and it must be done in a constructive way. And I think the best way to do it is to put yourself in the shoes of the person whose right is violated. Would you want to have that done to you? And this is our approach, that we talk with Malaysian human rights defenders and ask them about the situation here. We also approach the government, and in our consultations, for instance, with the foreign ministries, we touch this issue. Malaysia now wants to be in the Council for Human Rights in Geneva, and Germany is supporting this candidature. I think this is also something where we can cooperate. And so I think there are also touchy issues which we need to address, how to treat the LGBTI community, and how to address freedom of media. For instance, if you think of the fake news law, what can you say about this? And we do have some questions about this. Also, if you now think at this cartoon, which was produced on police violence, and then the producers have been asked to respond to the police. So I believe that all these things we observe very diligently, and we think that this also should be a topic for exchange.
Interesting. So many facets of things you mentioned about human rights, because obviously this is a complex issue, and one thing we can appreciate about the German foreign policy is that it doesn't try to coerce or dictate on how Malaysia does it, but encouraging for Malaysia to improve its human rights record. And I think that's something to be noted. Now I want to ask you maybe two last questions, if you don't mind, and maybe what is something that in the context of the Malaysian-German bilateral relations, is there anything that we did not discuss that you think we should have discussed? Because I think there is, I know there's a lot to discuss, maybe one or two points that you believe are important for us to take note before I go to my last question.
Yeah, well, you of course you can dig deeper in all these issues. I mean, human rights, there's a lot to add. Also, I was just thinking of the position of Malaysia in the Freedom of Press Index and things like that. You can deep digger in these issues. But what I would like to dwell on is vocational training, because I think this is also something very important for Malaysia. The German industry, the companies in Germany, they have introduced together with the Malaysian-German Chamber of Commerce the dual vocational training here in Malaysia. There is the German-Malaysian Institute, where you have students who are taught according to this system, but actually only few companies are participating at this model, and mostly it are German companies. Now, the dual vocational training is of high value, I think, both for the students and for the companies, and for the and by the way also for the society. Because it is demand driven, what the students learn, they come to companies, they are being trained on the job, and they learn things which they really need to work in the companies. From day one on, they are members of the company, they earn a salary, they are being taken seriously, and so they are already in the working environment. And in school, they also go to school. 30% of their time is schooling. They get the theoretical background for their work. It is a system which has heeded much success in Germany, and which we sometimes also try to export and here to Malaysia. And I think that it is worthwhile propagating that also more Malaysian companies participate at that. Sometimes I hear, we don't do this because once we have trained the student, he goes to someone, to another company, which pays better. But this is actually not what the figures say. The figures say that 90% of the participant at vocational training, they will get work after they finish their training, and 80% stay with the company where they learned. So it is of high value, and it is not very costly, because the companies pay them a salary. It is a small salary, but it is a salary, and the state has just to come up for the schooling. And I would like to use this occasion that to emphasize that we should broaden cooperation in this, and also maybe the Malaysian-German Institute can engage more strongly in convincing Malaysian companies to participate.
Such an excellent point, because at the end of the day, if you look at the German vocational system, it works. I think there is no, and I think the fact is German workers are highly paid, they're productive, and I think it has done wonders, especially come to automotive industry, when you think of how he has transformed the German economy. I wish we had more time to talk about other things. I think you mentioned about the Indo-Pacific policy, you mentioned about climate change cooperation, ASEAN-EU cooperation, security matters. But I think, you know, we have already almost reached the 45-minute mark. I want to ask you one final question before we end. What do you believe are the opportunities for our listeners here to today? What do you think are the opportunities that we should be thinking about exploring when it comes to the Malaysian-German relations?
Yes, we have touched on them several times already. I think that we have to become aware that we are in a similar situation, Malaysia and Germany, in our respective state blocs. We are not very big countries, and we can express ourselves on the world theater only within our respective state blocs in ASEAN or in the European Union. So I think that we do need to reflect what is the common ground we have, and there is a lot of common ground. We have similar goals, such as peace and security and stability, multilateralism, what I said before, free trade system, sustainability, and I think that there is ample room for a closer cooperation between Germany and Malaysia in the United Nations system, as well as in our respective state blocs and regional policy. So I think we there we should tap this potential. Economy-wise, I think that we also need to intensify our cooperation, even if it is already strong. But things will very much change in the future. We will have Industry 4.0. Companies now are already intelligently networking with each other. You have 3D printers for machine parts and robots assembling them. And Germany actually is one of the front runner of this development. And I think we do have to offer something for Malaysia in this respect. And then we should really see that after COVID-19, there's an even bigger crisis looming, and that is the climate crisis. And now, if you look at Europe, but also to other parts of the world, really huge sums of money will be invested to counter this crisis. In Europe, we have a program of $750 billion to cope with post-COVID phenomena. And a high percentage, I think 40%, need to be spent on climate investments. And also the next état of the European Union, which is more than 1 trillion euro. Also there, one third needs to be spent on these things. So in Germany, we have our federal budget. There also huge quantities are devoted to these purposes. So there is a lot of money to be earned in this field, and I think companies have to be aware of them, and also countries have to be aware of that. That we will have a change. We will have a change going into a direction. We will have electric cars. We will have different buildings. Energy saving is on the agenda now. Also clean energy. We will decarbonize our industry. So there will be huge changes in the future. And then we also have to fight the plastic flood, as I said before, preservation of biodiversity. And there's I think, ample room for cooperation between Germany and Malaysia. In Germany, the government as well as the society are very well aware of these problems. And you find very many institutions who deal with it. And my wish would be that this also will lead to a participation of Malaysia, and that we can bring them together. I think that's what I would that would be my wish for the future.
Thank you so much, Ambassador. It's such an engaging conversation we've had for the past 45 minutes or so. I think your call to action was spot on. I think there is so much that we can work together on, economic, political, COVID-19, climate change, fighting plastic flood. And I want to thank you for your time. We have been speaking with Dr. Peter Blumeyer, and I think that it's been such an insightful chat. I also want to plug for the embassy, if you are interested to find out more, Google German Embassy Kuala Lumpur. They have a website, the website is kuala-lumpur.diplo.de/myen. Okay, if you can't find it, go on Google and type German Embassy Kuala Lumpur, or they are on Facebook as well. You go at German Embassy Kuala Lumpur and Instagram at Germany in Malaysia, because these two, especially the Facebook page, provides a lot of updates when it comes to German-Malaysian opportunities. Follow them, like them, and share their posts, because I think there's so many opportunities for us to learn, especially from Germany. And Ambassador, thank you so much for your time, and we look forward for having you, maybe for part two if there is a chance for us to do so. Thank you so much for your time, sir. For the listeners, we also have part two coming up. Not with the German ambassador, with somebody else. Part two will be with another ambassador soon, and we will be revealing that when the time comes. So thank you so much, Ambassador, and we hope all of you have a wonderful time.
Thank you very much for this opportunity to talk to you, and thank you also for your advice about our website to your audience.
Thank you, sir.